Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Yotet Amubet, two lines from the bottom. Gemara here is continuing from the statement that we saw from Rav yesterday, which is either something that is duplicated within the world of Mincha, that is Ma'akev, or something that has Torah and Chukah that is associated with it is Ma'akev. We clarified yesterday that you don't need Torah, you really need just Chukah, or something similar to that. By Mincha, we did not exercise that din because of the miut that is associated with the Girsha and Shamna, that the Girsha and Shamna told us that those items are Me'akev, but nothing else is Me'akev, showing us that the Chukah by Mincha is Lav Davka. And then we have here, Matkif LaRavuna, Hare Melach, Delotana Be'kra, Ma'akva Be. What about salt, where the Torah does not repeat it, there's no duplication of the salting, and yet it's Me'akev, the Korban Mincha. Titanio, because we have a braita, Brit Melach Ulamu. The pasuk that they're quoting here is the pasuk from Perek Yudchet in Bamidbar in Parshat Korach, Kol Shumot HaKodeshim, Asher Yirimu Bnei Yisrael Hashem, Netati Lechol Vanecha V'Livnotecha Yitcha, Lecha Kulam, Brit Melach Ulam Hi, Lifnei Hashem, Lecha Ulezaracha Yitach. That's the pasuk that's being quoted over here, Brit Melach Ulamu. This is a permanent covenant, Shei Brit Amuraba Melach Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, so that there is a covenant that is associated with the salt, and as Rashi says over here, Shalot Tifsok Mi Korbanot, that they always must be placed on the korbanot. Rabbi Shimon Omer Nemar Kan Brit Melach Olam Hi Benemar Lahalan, and it says in Parshat Pinchas with regards to the promise that Hashem makes to Pinchas after he defends the honor of Hashem, that it is Brit Kuhunat Olam. He promises him that you have a permanent Kuhuna. Kishem, she'ev share the Korbanot below Kuhuna, kach, ev share the Korbanot below Melach. Just like there is no Korban or no Avodah done without a Kohen, because that's Brit Kuhuna, so to over here, there are no Korbanot without Melach. The question arises because of the Pasuk that we quote over here. The Rabbeinu Tam on the previous Amud says that we're quoting the wrong Pasuk. And that is because there is a more apropos pasuk. Pasuk that we're quoting has nothing to do with the melach or the salting of korbanot. It's a promise that the matnot kuhuna will belong to the kohanim. The brit melach over there is, it's a permanent covenant that the matnot kuhuna will belong to the kohanim. And that's the brit melach that's mentioned in Korach, and that's what we quoted before. Just called Shumot HaKodeshim, Asher Yirum Bnei Yisrael Hashem, Natati Lecha Ulvanecha V'Livnotecha Yitecha. Those are all the matnot kuhuna. Brit melach olam hi lifnei Hashem lecha ulezaracha itach. The brit melach is a covenant with regards to the matnot kuhuna. The more apropos pasuk that we should have quoted is the pasuk that appears by the mincha in Perek Bet in Vayikra, pasuk Yud Gimel, v'chol korban minchatcha b'melach timlach. V'lo tashbit melach brit elokecha mi'al minchatecha. Al kor korbancha takriv melach. That would seem to be the most obvious and the clear pasuk that should have been quoted over here. And yet, the one that is quoted is from Perek Yudchet in Bamidbar from Parshat Korach. So the Rabbeinu Tam mends the girsa in order to have it be the pasuk from Vayikra Bet. So that actually seems to be an elegant solution to much of what is said over here. The only problem is later on in the Gemara is going to quote that pasuk, indicating that it's a duplication. That makes it a little more difficult, as we'll see in a second, for the Pshat of the Rabbeinu Tam. But nevertheless, at least in the Braita itself, it seems very compelling what the Rabbeinu Tam is saying, that the Pasuk that should have been quoted over here is the Pasuk from Vayikra Bet, and not the Pasuk from Bamidbar Yudchet. Rashi over here says, Ben Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Rabbi Shimon, Leka Midei, Ela Mashma'ut Dorshim. Says there's no difference between them, it's just the drush of where you get the source from, or the Pasuk itself. How do you know that they have to have salt on all the korbanot? That's the view of Rashi. Although you could see a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon being whether melach is only applicable to mincha or is applicable more broadly to korbanot as a whole. Especially if you have the pasuk here be the pasuk that the Rabbeinu Tam suggests, then Rabbi Yehuda's position would be that melach is associated with the mincha, whereas Rabbi Shimon would say that melach is associated with korbanot bichlam. In addition, it might have an afkamina with regards to kihuna and the necessity of kihuna, which comes up, for instance, by a bama, where by a bama, there's no requirement of kihuna, is the requirement of melach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it has nothing to do with kuna. It's a requirement of a mincha. If you think also that a mincha can be brought on a bama, then melach would also be a requirement over there. Or if you think that Rabbi Yehuda is speaking more broadly about korbanot, then you would require melach by a bama. Whereas for Rabbi Shimon, who connects it to kuna, maybe by bama there would be no necessity for melach. And in general, maybe that nafkamina of the necessity for kuna by melach, but also might be a nafkamina between them, which the Gemara is going to discuss in a moment, the fact that it doesn't think that it's possible that a zar can do the melach, but based on their differences of presentation here, it is possible that maybe that's a nafkamina between them. But Rashi feels that they are saying the exact same thing, just mashmut dorshim ikane beinayu. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Kitana Didan Svirle. Rav holds like the author of our Mishnah. You're right, the Braita seems to indicate that there is a din that salt is me'akev the korban, or at least me'akev the mincha, but Rav, who says that unless it's repeated, then it's not me'akev, then over here, Rav is going to say that it's not me'akev by melach, because we don't have a repetition of the pasuk. So the answer that Rav Yosef gives is that Rav holds like the author of our Mishnah, who said, Damar lo malach kasher. And our Mishnah says that if you don't do the salting, then b'diavad, it is kasher. That Tano obviously argues in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who say that the melach is me'akev. Amalei Abaye, ihochi, if that's the way you're going to explain it, lo yatzak nami, lo yatzak klal. You saying now that the meaning in the Mishnah is that lo malach means lo malach is kasher, then lo yatzak you should have interpreted in the same way, which means that lo yatzak means even if you do din yudzika at all, it would have been kasher. Ella, we reinterpreted, we already did this before and said that's not possible. Therefore, you have to explain lo yatzak in the Mishnah to mean lo yatzak kohen, ella zar. The kohen doesn't do it, and the zar does do it, but the avad is okay. But if he didn't do it at all, then it is pasul. Hakanami, why don't you say the same thing here with regards to the melach? Lo malach kohen el azar. That if the kohen didn't do it, but a zar did it, that would make it kasher b'diavad. But if he didn't do it at all, it would be pasul. And once you've done that, then Rav has no source for his position, because we don't have the repetition of melach. And yet, we still are saying it's ma'akev now. So Amalei, Sir Rav Yosef, response was Talmid Abaye, b'chit alei adatka, shezar karev legabe mizbeach. What do you think? A zar is going to end up on the mizbeach? The salting is done in a much later stage in the process. The tzikah is in the preparation, the preparatory stages of the mincha. So first of all, it's before kmitza. Remember that the Gemara already taught us, mikmitza ve'elech is mitzvah kehuna. Kmitza and onwards is a din of kehuna. And so therefore, when you speak about yitzikah and you speak about blila, there's at least a havamina to say that there, the zar might be kasher. And that's the machloket that we saw between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon as to whether a zar is kasher with regards to those items. But mikmitza ve'elech, from that point forward, we said it was mitzvah kehuna. So either Rabbi Yosef is answering that to him and saying, listen, this is post-kmitza, over there you must have a kohen, or he's talking about a practical problem. So Rashi says the soul over here is, Michat Kometz Verosh Osho Mizbeachi. What Rabbi Yosef is saying is that the Michat Kometz is on the top of the Mizbeach, and there's no way that a Zar is going to be there. There are a number of issues with that are presented in the Shini Mekubetzet Ot Aleph, including the fact that you don't have to do the melicha on top of the mizbeach. You can do it in other locations. As well as the possibility that the Tzar just did that. He went up to the top of the mizbeach, even though he's not supposed to be there. And he did the melicha over there. So then what's the status of that melicha? So the Shita Mekubetzet brings from the Maharaf and from the Tosafot, Chitzoniot, that they think that what Rav Yosef is saying over here is that Mimikimitza Ve'elech is mitzvat kihuna. And because of that, that's what is posel over here. Melicha comes after kmitza. And since melicha comes after kmitza, there's no way that it can be done by a zar if mikmitza ve'elech is done by kohanim. Rashi, on the other hand, will have to argue that when you say mikmitza ve'elech is mitzvah kuna, that's with regards to the imperatives that are written in psukim, the avotot that are written in psukim. The requirement for melach is an independent chiyuv that's not necessarily associated, we'll see in a second, just with mincha. It's a broader imperative. And therefore, maybe it's not governed by the Mekimitza Ve'elech. And that's why Rashi has to bring an alternate reason. In addition, the Shita Mekubetzet over here in Ot Aleph brings something that he said back on Yud Zayin Amud Bet, which is that the Mishnah is speaking Lechatchila, and Rabbi Shimon was speaking Bidiavad. He says that with regards to Yitzika and Belila, maybe Rabbi Shimon agrees Bidiavad that Belila is kasher, and then why can't he be reconciled with the Mishnah? The Shita Mikubetzah back there says that our Mishnah sounds like even Lechatchila, which means that even if you give up the Belila Lechatchila, or even if you give up the Yitzika Lechatchila, it would be kasher. Because Rabbi Shimon only permits it Bidiavad. And similarly over here, he says the same thing, that the Mishnah says, Im lo malach kasher, is indicating that the melicha is, even if you don't do it lechatchila, it's fine. There's an inyan lechatchila to do it. As opposed to, if you believe here, that the melicha on the top of the mizbeach, the tzar does it by going up there improperly, that would say that it's kasher bidiavad. Our Mishnah is indicating that it's kasher lechatchila. So he uses that same distinction again to explain why it is that Rabbi Yosef believes it can't be that that's the solution to the problem here. So either it's because our Mishnah is speaking even lechatchila, and you're trying to suggest a bidiavad case, or because of the fact mikmitzvelech is mitzvah kuna, that Shita Mikubetzah don't love brings as the reason why Rabbi Yosef believed that no zar would be able to do the melicha. Now the Gemara says, Vivai tema, another solution to the problem is, kemen dechtiva bei brit, keman detoni bei kra damya. That once it has the word brit written in it, covenant, that's a term like chukah, or iyeh. That's something that says, this is procedurally fixed, and you can't deviate from it, because it is a brit. So therefore, it's as if you duplicated in the pasuk, and therefore it is me'akev. In that case, Rav obviously cannot hold like our Mishnah says, lo malach kasher, because now Rav is subscribing to the point that it is me'akev, based on the fact that it was duplicated, quote-unquote, in the pasuk, because of the word brit. And therefore, I've subscribed to Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, who say that melach is essential. Unless you then explain the Mishnah like Abayi wanted to do, which was, lo malach kohen elazar kasher, that means im lo malach klal is psula, then in that case you can even fit Rav's statement here into the Mishnah, because our Mishnah then would also agree that melich, not doing melich at all, is unacceptable. When it says, v'lo tana bei kra, is it really true that the pasuk did not repeat melach v'aktiv? So here is the pasuk that we would have thought should have been quoted originally. And this is what presents a little bit of a problem for the Rabbeinu Tam, which is now the Gemara is quoting the pasuk and saying that that's a duplication. According to Rabbeinu Tam, if this was the original pasuk, then what's the duplication? You're quoting the same pasuk twice. That's not a duplication. If you say that the pasuk is from Korach and then we're quoting this pasuk, that's the duplication that's going on. Again, the tremendous deficit with that is that the Brit Melach in Korach, in Perek Yud-Ched and Bamidbar, is not really about the Korbanot. It's a covenant between Hashem and the Kohanim about the Matnot Ki'una. And again, it represents the symbol of preservative and permanence. It's not a requirement of putting salt on the items. So there are those that want to explain here that the Pasuk that we quoted before actually has a duplication internally, which is in Vayikra Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Gimel. So that would be the pasuk according to the Rabbeinu Tam that should have been quoted by the Braita, and it's quoted over here. But the Gemara over here, when it quotes the pasuk, should have said vechule. And that is because velo tashpit melach brit elokecha mi'al minchatecha al kol korbancha takriv melach. So there you see that even internally in that one pasuk, it mentions it twice: v'chol korban minchatecha b'melach timlach, and then also v'al kol korbancha takriv melach. So there's twice in the pasuk, there's a demand for salt that be placed there, at least with regards to a mincha. Because it says, v'chol korban minchatcha, b'melach timlach. And at the end it says, v'chol korbancha, takriv melach. So that would be the duplication according to the Rabbeinu Tam. And another compelling reason for the Rabbeinu Tam is that in the pasuk in Korach, there's no tzibui. It's a statement of fact, it's not a command. And we saw before that when you have duplications, they're only meaningful when it's a tzibui. That's why Belila is not considered to be something that is duplicated, even though almost every mincha has the word Belila or Blula written by it. Tosafot explained to us that's because it's a statement of the status of the mincha, not a tzibui. It doesn't say you have to be bolel, like it says you have to do by yatzak. It tells you that the mincha is Blula. It's telling you about what the state of the mincha is. It's not giving you a tzibui. And therefore, that's not a duplication. And similarly, the pasuk in Korach doesn't have a tzivui in it. That's what's compelling towards the Bein Tam. Again, the deficit or the difficulty is the fact that the Gemara here quotes that pasuk as being the duplication rather than being the primary pasuk. But again, if you add in the word v'chule, it might work out because the pasuk itself has twice a command from Melach in it. All right, so Gemara says, "Homi bailei the Ketanya." Now that we need or is necessary for the Braita. Ilu nemar korban b'melach. Had it written just korban b'melach, shomei ani afilu etzim v'dam shenikru korban. Then I would have thought that it includes within the necessity to salt not only menachot but also things that are called korbanot, including etzim v'dam. As Rashi says over here, the etzim are called a korban because of the pasuk in Nehemiah, which we're going to quote in the latter half of today's daf, which is about goralot, yipalnu al korban ha'itzim. You see the association of the word korban with itzim over there. And he says, v'dam ikre korban shu'ikar kol hazavach, because that is the primary aspect of any korban, is the dam. In addition, we're going to see that Rabbi has a belief that itzim are a korban, not just because of the pasuk of Nehemiah, but because they're included through the word korban itself. The pasuk of Nehemiah only supports that. So we do have evidence of the fact that itzim are called a korban. And the fact that dam is the major aspect of the korban, so we'd also associate that with the word korban. So Talmud Lomar, that's why the pasuk says, mincha, kol korban minchatcha b'melach timlach. That's korban would have taught you everything to be included. Along comes minchatcha and limits the scope of what is included. Ma mincha miyuchedet she'acharim ba'im chovala. Just like a mincha, other things come because of it. So too, items that generate a necessity for something else to be brought along with it. The Gemara in a second will explain what that means, but assuming right now that means itzim. It means that the mincha requires itzim in order to put it on the pyre. So it forces necessity for something else because it requires something to burn it on the mizbeach. That's not true of itzim. Itzim themselves can't be burnt on the mizbeach. They do not require other etzim to burn those etzim. And similarly, dam. Dam is something that's sprinkled or thrown on the walls of the mizbeach, and it doesn't require anything else in order to bring it onto the mizbeach. So that's what the mincha is teaching you. So now, ima mincha miyuchedet shemitmateret, avko shematir. So then, the Gemara says, okay, if you're saying that it has to do with mincha, and mincha is defining for us, becomes paradigmatic in nature, then you should also talk about another feature of the mincha, which is that the mincha is a matir. It allows the shirayim to be eaten. So as a matir, maybe also things that are matirim should be included. Now, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is not that you should have both requirements, but rather either one of these requirements would be sufficient, which is either you're similar to mincha because acharim bayim chovala, or you're similar to a mincha because you are a matir. It's not saying that you have to be both a matir and acharim chovala. The Gemara later on will do something like that. But right now, it seems to be that they are keeping it as separate. As long as you are similar to a mincha in one way, that's enough to bring it. And therefore, you would then avi dam shematir. Then you would also include dam, because dam is a matir, like the kometz mincha that is placed on the mizbeach. Talmud Omar, mi'al minchatcha, velo mi'al damecha. The pasuk continues and says, lo tashpit melach brit elukecha mi'al minchatecha. So mi'al minchatecha means from your minachot, but not from your damecha, from that dam that you bring. So there's a miut in the pasuk that says dam is not included. But had it not been for the miut in the pasuk, we would have included it. Yochot de mincha kulatuna melach. You would possibly think that the entire mincha requires salting. Tamalomar, korban. Korban to own melach, mein mincha kula tuna melach. Only something that is a korban, something that is put on the mizbeach, requires melach, not something that is just a part and parcel of that which is kodesh, or the shirayim. In essence, that go to the kohanim, they don't require melach. Vein li'ela kometz, minayin the rabot et elivona. How do you know to include livona as well? Rabbe ani et elivona came ba'a ima b'kli echad. Because livona comes along with the kometz in a single kli. According to our Gemara here in Menachot, that would mean at the beginning of the process, you put the levona into the kli with the mincha. According to the Gemara in Sotah, that might even be for the hakrava, that you put them in the kat lavona into the same kli sharet as the komets, and then take them up to the mizbeach. So that's kli achad. Minay the rabot at the lavona haba'a b'fnei atzma, ulevona haba'a b'bazichim. How do I know to now include the lavona that is not necessarily associated with a mincha, that's not going together on the mizbeach with a mincha? How do I know that that's also included in those items that require salting? Vaktoret, and something like the ktoret, or minchat kohanim, or minchat kohen mashiach, or minchat nisachim, emirei chatat, vemirei asham, vemirei kodshei kodashim, vemirei kodshim kalim, vevrei olah, volat of, minayin. How do I know to include all basically items that go on the mizbeach? And here in the list here, we have a list of all the different items that end up on the mizbeach. And emurei kodshei kodashim over here, as Rashi's already noted earlier, refers to the emurim of the shnei kvasim on atzeret, because you already had emurim of the chatat and emurei asham. So there are no emurim left that would go on the mizbeach. So emurei kodshei kodashim could only be including the kibsei atzeret, which are shlalmei tzibur and a vedina of kodshei kodashim. So how do I know to include all of those? Talmud Omar, al kol korbancha melach. That's the end of the pasuk, which says that on all of your korbanot you require salt. So now Gemara is going to try to understand this brayta. Amamar, ein li ala komets, minay rabot levona. How do I know to include levona? Merbe ani et levona shekein ba'ayima b'kli achad. V'ha amart, didn't you already say early on in the brayta ma mincha miyuchedet she'acherim ba'im chovala, that anything that comes as prerequisite or necessity along with the mincha, that too is included, and therefore levona should be included just for that reason itself. Just like the mincha precipitates necessity for itzim to burn it on the mizbeach, levona would do the same thing. So why do I need a separate riboy over here for levona? Levona should be included from the earlier part of the braita. Hachikamar, eba kurban klal o mincha prat. So now what the Gemara is suggesting is, maybe you have a klal uprat here, which is b'chol korban minchatcha. Korban is a klal, minchatcha is a prat. Klal uprat, ein b'chlala mashepa prat. Minchain midachin alo. That's what you would have thought, maybe only a mincha, not anything else. Hadar amar al kor korbancha. That's the end of the pasuk, which says, al kor korbancha takriv melach, chazar b'chlal. Then you got a new klal at the end. Klal uprat uklal. Then you are done. Things that are similar in nature to the prat, ma prat mifurash, sharecherim ba'im lachovala, avko sharecherim ba'im chovala. In essence, the question is, why did you start with the limud of a binyan av, and then switch over to a different form of limud, which is ribui from the pasuk, which is based on a klal prat uklal? And so that's what the Gemara explained, that the Gemara transitioned. It tried a binyan av, then it says, wait a minute, why do you think it's a binyan av? Maybe it's a klal uprat. If it's a klal uprat, you wouldn't include anything because the mincha would be the sole thing that would be included. And then it goes on to say, even if you go down the route of klal uprat, it really is a klal uprat uklal. Acherim debaim chovala mainihu. What is that? Things that come as an obligation along with this item. What are those? Eitzim. So av kol eitzim. So too, anything that requires eitzim will be included. Ema. Why don't you say kol she'acherim ba'im chovala? Why don't you say that that means niu levona? That is the levona, meaning that the necessity by the mincha to bring the kolmetz on the mizbeach also requires that levona be brought. Or in essence, the mincha is not complete without the levona, and that's maybe what it means. Something that's obligated to be brought along with the kolmetz or along with the mincha, and that's levona. Ve'aiti dam deikin esachim. And the same way, and then you would have included blood, because blood precipitates nisachim, and that way you would have included dam here. Where it says, nisachim ba'dei murim hudaatu. The nisachim are not a partner to the dam, they are a partner to the emurim. And the Shita Megubetz in a note asks, according to this way, that we are including the dam, then what is mi'al minchatecha coming to exclude? So they suggest over here that the riboy here of dam, it's not saying dam exclusively, but it's saying that it's a riboy of dam as well. And therefore you would also include all of the evarim and all the other things that we mentioned before. And then ma'al minchatecha would come, ma'al minchatecha limute evarim, to exclude evarim, because you would have included them along with the dam. And so then you would have excluded Evarim, even though the Gemara is going to reject this view later on, because at this point we feel that Dam has more reason to be included than Evarim, because the Dam has two associations, or two tzadim, with the Mincha. And that is both that it is a Matir, as well as something else comes Kova with it, which is the Nisachim. Once the Gemara rejects that, and says that the Nisachim are associated with the Emurim, then Dam only has one tzad that is similar to a Mincha. At that point, later on, the Gemara will say that Evarim have a leg up on Dam, and that's why we would pick Evarim to be included and Dam to be excluded. But at this point, it's just the reverse, and therefore we use Amin Fatecha to exclude the Evarim. You would have thought that maybe Dam should be included, because just like the Mincha has a partner that is obligated to be brought along with it, which is Lubona, so to the Dam has a partner that needs to be brought along with it, which are the Nisachim that come with the Korban. So Gemara says, no, the Nisachim are associated with the Emurim and not with the Dam. And again, the Chita Megubetza Noted says that this answer is not a sufficient answer to say that that's not the explanation of Abayim Chova, because you could just say, okay, the Emurim need salt because they have Nisachim that come with them. But the answer that we give in the end, which is that Shein Bayim Kli Echad, actually covers both of those. That's why that can't be the explanation over here. But just as a side, the Gemara is indicating that you should just know that the Nisachim are associated with the Emurim and not the Dam, even though that's not a full answer to the question that we're asking. My time, well, how do you know what they're associated with? The Dam is Ikar Kapara, the Ikar part of the Korban. Why would you associate it with the Emurim and not with the Dam? Achila v'shtiyah. That's because you're giving the Mizbeach to eat and to drink. And so the association is with the Emurim to the Nisachim and not with the Dam to Nisachim. Gemara says, Adraba, Kapara v'simcha. You could also give some nice explanation for the fact that there's a connection or correlation between the Dam and Nisachim, which is when you have Kapara, you celebrate the Kapara that is granted. As Rashi says over here, Demi, Shnit Kaper, Chato, Sameach. Person who has Kaparat HaChataim is in a state of Simcha. And that's what we experience on Yom HaKippurim, and why the Mishnah in Tanit says, Lo yu yomim tovim l'Yisrael, elo ki Yom HaKippurim ve'tu be'av. Because Yom HaKippurim is a day of Simcha. The Simcha is the Kaparat Avonot that takes place on Yom HaKippurim. So similarly over here, you got Kaparat with the Dam that's placed on Mizbeach. Therefore you bring a Nesech, which includes a wine libation, to celebrate, to indicate the Simcha. Now, even though the individual who was granted the kapara is not the one celebrating, he doesn't drink the wine of the Nisachim, nevertheless, he's sharing in the Simcha. He's celebrating, and that's through the Nisachim. In that case, you would associate the Nisachim with the Dam, and not with the Emurim. Ela levona ba'ayimah b'kli echad. Nisachim ein ba'ayim b'kli echad. There's a difference. Even if you were to include levona because of the fact that it is ba'ayim chovala, it's an obligatory item that comes along with the mincha, you still would not have included dam, because the difference is that the levona is found in a single utensil with the mincha, or again, according to the Gemara Sota, with the kometz, and therefore it joins them together in a more integral manner. It's not just that you need the levona along with the kometz. The kometz precipitates the necessity for levona to end up in the mizbeach, but it's that they are in a single utensil. They are together, they are unified in this way. Nisachim, on the other hand, can be totally separate. We're going to see later on in the Gemara, you can bring them 10 days later. You don't have to bring them together with the Korban immediately. And therefore, there's some sort of separation or distinction between the Dam and the Nisachim, or even if you want, the Emurim and the Nisachim. Aval Eitzim, Ke'echa demitkashru bo mincha, hachi mitkashru kulo korbanot. On the other hand, when it comes to Eitzim, which the Gemara thinks is the real explanation for Bayim La'achova, the same way Eitzim are used by Mincha, they are used by other Korbanot. So to say that the Bayim Lo Chova means that there's another item that comes along with it is not such a great answer or not such a great way to present it, because then there's really nothing else to include. Because the Mincha has that unusual aspect that the Levona come together in a Kli Echad. And that would mean that you would have nothing else to include, because that's a unique aspect of the Mincha, that the Kometz and the Levona, or the Mincha and the Levona, are found in a single utensil. But if you say that we're referring to Eitzim, Eitzim is something universal. It's something that you can now extrapolate from Mincha to other Korbanot. And that's what we're going to say here. Just like the Eitzim are chova and obligation to be brought along with the Kometz, so too by other Korbanot, where there's an obligation to put them on the Mizbeach, which means they require Eitzim, they also require Melach. Ve'ema ma'prat mifurash shacharim ba'im chovala umateret. Afsko shacharim ba'im chovala umateret. So I noted before when the Braita was saying it, it was saying either or. Now the Gemara is saying, why don't you say that there are two requirements over here? One requirement, it'd be that acharim ba'im chovala, that it precipitates necessity for something else, would be the Eitzim. And number two is a mincha is a matzir. And so therefore only something that has both of those aspects of the mincha should be included. Umayniu, levona, haba'aba bazichim, the shayr lechem. Something that's similar to it that would have been included now are the bazichim levona, the lechem apanim. Because they, first of all, require Eitzim to be placed on the mizbeach. And number two is their matzir, the lechem apanim. But then we wouldn't have included anything else. The Gemara says, the fact that the Torah has to tell you and not your dam, to exclude dam, that shows you that everything else can be included through chatzad, or with a singular commonality with mincha, is enough to require melach over here. So the Gemara proposes the possibility that you should have to be dome la prat b'shnei tzadim. This is always a question that you have when you have a klal uprat uklal, that it's ke'ena prat. Ke'ena prat means similar to the detailed items there. Well, how similar do you need to be to the items that are mentioned there? Generally, we would not accept tzad echad. One common denominator between them usually is not a sufficient reason to say that you're dome la prat, because that's too wide. It's just too expansive in nature. Generally, we will require at least two items to be the commonality, so at least it gives you a certain framework in which you're saying the prat includes other items, and not just everything. Over here, what the Gemara says is, you might have thought to you two tzadim, but the puzzle continues and has a miut in it. And since the miut comes to say, mi'al minchatecha, below mi'al damecha, to tell you that dam is excluded, that means you would have had the possibility of including the dam. The possibility of including the dam only works if you think it's domeh b'chatzad echad. Because the only thing dam has in common with the mincha is that it's a matir. It doesn't require eitzim. It doesn't have anything by im chovala. The fact that the Torah had to exclude it shows you the Torah is willing to accept anything b'chatzad echad in a mincha to be included. The klal dana kulu atu b'chatzad. And that's what it means here, that everything else, the chatzad would be sufficient to include it. Right, so now the Gemara says, amar ma mi'al minchatecha v'lo ma'al damecha. Why are you excluding dam? Why don't you exclude the evarim? It says, "Mistavar evarim avalei liribuyei." Evarim make more sense to be included in the necessity for salting. Shekein ashbon tamei siman. This is the siman of the overlapping features of a mincha and the evarim. So you can see here, ashbon tamei has seven letters in there. So you'd expect seven items to be mentioned now that are common between the mincha and the ibarim. In truth, the Gemara will only give us six. And so that leads the Rabbeinu Tam to say that the aleph here means something else, and he'll explain what the aleph is that's left out. Although the Shita Mikubetzet over here brings an alternate symbol. You can see on the first white line of the Shita Mikubetzet on the left side that he says, came to domilei be'esh nitma, that he actually has a different siman, which only includes six letters, and that would solve the problem, because then you don't have to come up with a seventh issue over here. So now, the Gemara explains what are the commonalities between them. Acharim ba'im chovala, kamota. They both have another requirement in order to process them, which is the etzim, to put them on the mizbeach. Ishim, kamota. They're both items that end up on the pyre, as opposed to the dam, which goes on the mizbeach, or sprinkled on the mizbeach, but not onto the pyre. Bachutz kemota, they're both items that only are on the mizbeach chitzon, not on the mizbeach hapnimi. Whereas the dam, yes, is on the mizbeach chitzon, but it's also on the mizbeach hapnimi. It's also in the echal, it's also in the kodesh hakodeshim. Notar kemota, they're both subject to notar. If they're left beyond the period of time, they turn into notar. Tuma kemota, they're subject to tuma. If a tamei consumes them, it's problematic. Me'ila kemota, they're both subject to mi'ila, which is not true by dam, because dam does not have notar tuma mi'ila, as Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Yoma, that we have three tsukim by dam that come to mi'ma'i dam from mi'ila, from notar, and from tuma. So those are the six items that only gets up to the mem. That's where the aleph is missing, and that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says over here. Ketubah Sfarim, siman ashban Tameiv ein ashas mefaresh alef achrona. Mefaresh Rabbeinu Tam ochel kemota. It is food like it. Shirigilot limlo achochlim. People normally salt food. They don't salt liquids. They don't salt drinks. They salt food. And therefore they're both food. And that's why it makes sense. Although the Baal HaTos book give a reason as to why the Gemara doesn't bring it, because ein bo kula v'chumra. It's not something that's a kula or a chumra, it's just a fact. Rather than something being a chumra or a kula that's common between them. So that is that you have now seven overlapping features between a varim and a mincha. Adarabba, dam avalei rabuyei shekein. There are overlapping features between dam and a mincha. Shekein, matir, kamota. They're both matirim, which is what we discussed before. And nifsal b'shkiyat hachama kamota. And they both expire with shkiyat hachama. As opposed to the evarim, where you can put them on all night on the mizbeach. Once you hit shkiyat hachama, they're both problematic. So Rashi says that the psul over here is b'yom tzavoto, which is that you have to do any avodah in the mikdash, has to be done during the day and not during the night. If that's true, that's not an inherent psul in the dam. The problem with the dam is that you can't do the avodah anymore with the dam. And that would mean that you have to wait until the lota shachar for the dam to actually become pasul, and then you'd be able to pour it out into the amatamayim, the sewer line, in the mikdash. On the other hand, the Baal HaTosafot bring an alternate pasuk, which is that the psul comes from the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Nun Vav, and Aleph, where it says, minayin ledam shenifsal b'shkiyat hachama, shenever yom akrivo et zivcho, yom shata zoveach, ata takriv. So on the day that you bring the korban, that's the day the blood needs to be on the mizbeach. And in that case, it would be an inherent psul in the dam. And that means immediately upon shkiyat hachama, the dam would be pasul, and then you could pour it out into the sewer line of the mikdash. That's what over here questions. Tema, the lo chashim pigo dam v'komets, the lo mechayv aleihu mishum pigo. Isn't there a common denominator between komets and the dam, which is that they don't have a din in pigo? They can't become pigo. As opposed to Ibarim, they can become Pigul. Possibility is that that's subsumed in the fact that they are Matirim. They're both Matirim. And since they are Matirim, they can be Mitfagel, but they can't be Mitpagel. And maybe that's already subsumed in that, but Tosafot leaves that open as a question as to why the Gemara didn't bring that common denominator between Dam and the Mincha. So the Gemara answer is Anach Nefishan. It's not even a close call. You have seven items that overlap between Ibarim and Mincha, two items that overlap between Dam and Mincha, and therefore if I'm going to exclude something, I'm going to exclude the Dam and include the Evarim, and for that reason, Evarim will require salting, and Dam will not require salting. As an aside, the Baal HaTosafot here speak about the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, where he's trying to reconcile the Stira between the Gemara and Shabbat and the Gemara Pesachim, which leads to the famous Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, the 72 minutes, and that is because Shkiyat HaChama and Tzeltzei Tuchovim is 4 meal, according to Rabbi Yehuda. 4 meal, each one being 18 minutes, gives you the 72 minutes. The Gemara in Shabbat, on the other hand, says that the time elapsed between Shkiyah and Tzeitu Kochavim is 3/4 of a meal. So then, why are you saying here it's 72 minutes? So the Rabbeinu Tam comes up with this famous Shita that there are actually two Shkiyot. There's a Shkiyat HaChama when the sun leaves the horizon, and there's a second Shkiyat HaChama where it enters into the Kippah. Again, this is based on their understanding that the hole in the kippah, the sun enters into that kippah and then exits the other side. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's actually two shkiyot. There's the visible shkiyah, which is the disappearance of the sun from the horizon. And then there's the other shkiyah, which takes the light out of the horizon. That happens when it goes through the kippah to go back over overnight. And Rabbeinu Tam says that the language of the Gemara indicates that. When it wants to tell you, Mishitishka chama, that's speaking about the shkiyah at the end of the process of shkiyah. That's when the sun actually moves into the kippah and the light leaves the horizon or begins to leave the horizon. That's mishitishka chama. On the other hand, the term shkiyat chama means the tchilat shkiyah. That's when the sun itself actually leaves the horizon. And he says that it's been duyak over here because it says nifsal b'shkiyat chama. That the dam over here is pasul b'shkiyat chama, which means at the beginning of the shkiyah. And that's what the Baal HaTosafot say over here. Because if it was already the end of the shkiyah, which is basically Tzeitu Kochavim, then it would already be pasul because of the Yom Tzavoto. So how do we here have a pasul that's actually from Mishkiyat HaChama, from the beginning of the shkiyah? That's from the alternate pasul of Yom Shata Zoveach HaTamakriv. That the Tosafot says, that's Mishkiyat HaChama. Mishatishka chama, that's miyom tzabotol. And so therefore he says that the additional pasuk tells you that the dam is already pasul from an earlier stage at the time the sun leaves the horizon, rather than from just biyom tzabotol, where it would have been pasul only once you reach seito kofavim. So that does present a problem, which is that the miyot that he's bringing from the other pasuk is biyom hakrivo. And according to the Rebbeinu Tam, it's yom until the time of seito kofavim, or at least until the second shkiah, where you begin benesh mashot. Then why is the dam pasul already mishkiata chama? The Tosfos in the end says that it's a min enu inyan, because you don't need it for sof shkiah because of the fact that it says biyom tzavoto. It's a min enu inyan the sof shkiah. You should take it biyom akrivo to tell you that's the beginning of shkiah. Even though the word yom normally would mean until the end of the second shkiah, nevertheless over here because it's not necessary because you already have biyom tzavoto, therefore you move it back to the beginning of the shkiah. I would think to include dam and itzim because they're called a korban. Who's the one who says that itzim are called a korban? Rabbi. So the Gemara says, Rabbi, mibayi ba'u melach. According to Rabbi, they do require salt. The Tanya, korban, melamei shemitnadvim itzim. From here you see that you can donate itzim. Bikamo. How many do they have to be? Shnei gizarim, two logs of wood. V'cheinu umer, and that's the pasuk in Nechemiah that we quoted in Rashi before, and now we're quoting here. V'agorolot, hibalnu al korban ha'itzim. So that we threw lots for the korban ha'itzim. It calls them a korban. Or the itzim that they're donating, it calls them a korban. Rabbi Amar, itzim korban mincha heim. Rabbi says that itzim are actually a korban mincha. V'tu'uni melach, they require salting. Utuni magasha, and they have to actually be touched to the corner of the mizbeach. So the way Rashi learns over here is that the chachamim don't fundamentally disagree that itzim are called a korban. So Rashi says here from the pasuk in Nehemiah, you can see that itzim are called a korban. So even though it seems from here that the chachamim say that itzim are also called a korban, Rabbi thinks that the word korban that's associated with the itzim means literally that they are a korban. And since they are a korban, they have requirements like a korban. Which korban? That's the korban mincha. That is because he learns it out from the pasuk, nefesh ki takriv korban mincha l'Hashem. We could have just said nefesh ki takriv mincha. What is korban mincha? That tells you that there's another thing called a korban that's associated with the mincha. And Rabbi says that's a reference to the korban ha'itzim. But that also means that Rabbi thinks that the korban ha'itzim looks like a mincha. It looks like a mincha. It requires or has the same requirements as a mincha. That which goes on the mizbeach requires salting. The item itself needs to be touched to the corner of the mizbeach. Those are requirements of mincha. So too over here, they're going to be requirements of a korban etzim. The Baal Tosafot note over here that the korban that we're speaking about here is a real korban. Because it spoke about etzim and dam. So dam is like a real korban, and only Rabbi has that opinion that it actually is like a korban and not just called a korban. And that makes sense, because if you're going to demand melach, salting it, it would only make sense to salt something if it is really a korban, not something that's just called a korban. On the other hand, there are rishonim who believe that it doesn't mean literally korban etzim, because even according to the chachamim, the word korban appears there, but it's not a korban in the traditional sense of a korban, it's in the sense of nidava. It's something that's a voluntary offering, it is something that you are donating to the Mikdash. So even though it's called a korban, the meaning of korban in that situation is not korban in the traditional sense, but rather in the sense of donation or gift, or a korban that etzim are brought together with it. And it might relate to the question of the korban etzim that's mentioned in the Mishnayot, the Masechet Tanit, when people brought up on certain dates, they were donators of etzim to the Mikdash. Did they simply bring etzim to the Mikdash? Or did they bring korbanot along with those etzim to the Mikdash? And that's actually a machlok between Rashi and the Rambam in the explanation of those Mishnayot as to what the korban etzim is. Is it a donation of etzim? Or is it a donation of etzim that has a korban that is associated with it? And in that way, you would also then explain over here the word korban may actually mean a korban, but a korban that comes with the etzim and not the etzim themselves or the korban. Now, depending which way you learn, if you think the Chachamim think that the etzim are also a korban, just not a full-fledged korban like a rabbi, then the distinction between them is smaller. If you believe that the Rabbanan believe that the Korban Etzim are not called a Korban at all, and Rabbi does, then you would actually come up with a much greater distinction, which is, according to Rabbi, they have Kedushat the Guf. According to the Chamim, they only have Kedushat Damim. And then they would also have Nafkaminot with regards to whether they're Mekabel Tuma, like a Korban, or do they have Pidjon, which is true by Kedushat Damim, not true by Kedushat the Guf. And then the possibility that the Chamim require Shnei Gezerim is because they are a facilitator. They are not a Korban themselves. They are actually there to burn other things. And the minimum for that is Itzim, is two Gezerim. According to Rabbi, where it's a Korban in of itself, maybe you don't have that requirement of Shnei Gezerim. The Amarova, the Divrei Rabbi, Itzim to Unim Kemitza. According to Rabbi, then, the Itzim will also require a Kemitza. Because, just like a Mincha, when its process requires a Kemitza, so too, the Itzim require a Kemitza. Now that's a little difficult, because we have Korbanot, Mincha, that do not require a Kometz. Including Minchat Nisachim, or Minchat Kohen, that's Khalil, or the Minchat Chavitin, that also is Khalil. All those go on the Mizbeach without any Kometz. So how do you know that you require a Kometz over here? The answer might be the source. And as the Baal Tosafot point out, the Korban that we're speaking about here is not Bechol Korban Minchat Ka, but rather Nefesh Ki Takrib Korban Mincha LaShem. It's the Korban at the beginning of that Parshia of the Mincha. And it's associated with the Minchat Nidava. That's in the Parshia of Minachot that are Nidava. In that Parshia, all of them require a Kemitza. And so the Etzim, or the Ribui, the Etzim, is found by the Korbanot Minchat Nidava, not by the Minachot that don't require a Kometz. For that reason, he says that they require a Kometz, and that will also require that you somehow pulverize the Etzim. The only way to do a Kometz off of Etzim is if they are small pieces. So either you have to splinter it down, you have to pulverize, you have to do something to make it into a small item that can have a kemitza taken off of it. And then that would open up the possibility that once you put the kometz of the etzim on the mizbeach, what do you do with the residual etzim? Do you put the residual etzim on the mizbeach? Similar to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon later on, that a minchat kohen does require a kemitza, and then the kemitza and the shirayim go on the mizbeach. Or do the residual etzim then go to the kohanim, similar to a mincha where the kometz goes to the mizbeach, and the shirayim go to the kohanim? But Amar Rabbah, the Divrei Rabbi, Etzim Tzrichim Etzim. According to Rabbi, where Etzim or a Korban themselves, they also require Etzim to be brought. Just like a Mincha, that's a Korban, requires Etzim. And a Farim that come require Etzim. Etzim will require Etzim as well. Tosfot is, not only do you have to do Kemitza, but then you also have to do with Yamin, with your right hand, and you require Kiddush Kli. You're going to compare it to Mincha, you got to compare it all the way to a Mincha, and then it would need all those other trappings of a Mincha. If that's the case, the attribution of the Braita says that Korban means Etzim, or he's subscribing to Rabbi's position, that Etzim are called a Korban. But once you do that, the conclusion is that Rabbi believes that Etzim requires salting. Yet the Braita is saying that Etzim don't require salting in the end. Where it says, Sameh Mikan Etzim. Take Etzim out of the Braita in order to make it work. Velakra limute mai. If that's the case, then what is the pasuk coming to exclude? E limute dam. If it's coming to exclude dam, mi al minchatecha nafka. That you could have already done from al minchatecha. Meaning that if you were excluding both Etzim and dam, then you could say, klalu pratu klal, the word mincha comes to exclude Etzim, and then al minchatecha comes to exclude dam. But if you already are including Etzim and say they do require salting, then why do you need two miutim? You have the miut of the mincha and the miut of mi'al minchatecha. Why do you need that for the dam a second time? Or the way that Rashi says it is that originally I thought maybe the kalu pratu klal would come to exclude Etzim. And then I would have been merabit dam because dam is a matter like the mincha. And that's what I need mi'al minchatecha to tell you that dam is not included. But at this point in time, if Etzim are included, then you can't say the klal pratu klal is coming to be merabe and matir to say also include dam, because if you explained it that way, then there would be no need for amin chatecha. Gemara says apik etzim v'ayon nisachim. Solve the problem by taking out etzim and putting in nisachim. The Tanya aval yayin v'adam v'etzim v'aktoret ein tuanim melach. Based on the Braita, as we know that these items, yayin, dam, and etzim, and ketoret don't require melach, and therefore the nisachim that we're referencing to here are the nischei yayin, and those nischei yayin would be precluded from needing salt, And that's why you have two miyutim, one miyut to deal with in the sechim, those liquid items, those items like we're mentioning in the Braita. And the other one comes to exclude the dam. Me'al minchatecha below al damecha. And so therefore now, if we take out etzim and put in nisachim, then the kalu pratu klau comes to exclude nisachim. And then we use me'al minchatecha to exclude dam. And that the way Rashi formulated it, now I might have thought that the kalu pratu klau should also include dam, which is a matir like the mincha. Along comes me'al minchatecha to tell you me'al minchatecha below al damecha. And therefore it's exclusionary for dam, because you had the possibility of including it, because you have something else to exclude from the first klal u'pratu klal, which is the nisachim, which are not bayim lo chuvah. And that would then have been excluded, like etzim originally that we thought to exclude, because they're in bayim lo chuvah. But now that we're including etzim according to Rabbi, then we have to put in nisachim to replace it to be the miyut from the klal u'pratu klal, and then the dam will be the miyut from miyal minchatecha below miyal damecha. And that's why you have two miyutim. But etzim are still included in the melach. All right, we're going to stop here, two lines down on the top of Chof Aleph, Amud Aleph.